Amen. Thank you, David. God bless you. David told me this morning that he sung that song at his mother's funeral. And so it's not just a song. It is his testimony as well. And I'm grateful and thankful for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Mark chapter 6 and verse 53. Mark chapter 6 and verse 53. I want to share a message with you this morning called Touching the Hem. Touching the Hem. Notice that's H-E-M, not H-I-M. Touching the Hem. We are finishing Mark chapter 6 this morning, and we are finishing looking at Jesus' ministry in a particular region, and specifically in Galilee. And so our text this morning is four verses, 53, 54, 55, and 56, and they are summary verses this morning. And they will remind us that in the recent weeks and in the recent chapters of Mark's gospel, we've seen Jesus cast out demons. We've seen Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead. We've seen Jesus feed the thousands miraculously. We've seen Jesus walk on water. We've seen Jesus calm the storms. And not only have we seen that, but we're going to see in just a moment that those people that Mark is writing to us about, that they also perhaps experienced some of those exact and specific ministries as well. So, touching the Hem. Have that thought in your mind as we read God's Word together. If you have found Mark chapter 6 and verse 53, I invite you to stand this morning. Follow along as I read, and I invite you to join me in your own copy of God's Word. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was, wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege to sing to you this morning. Thank you, Father, that we've heard the testimony that David has sung about you. And now, Father, we look at your word. We're asking you to speak to us this morning as the body of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. So, when we left last Sunday morning, we saw Jesus reaching and extending his hand to Peter, who had taken his eyes off of Jesus and put them on the waves and the water. And if you'll remember, consequently, Peter began to sink. The Lord Jesus, his kindness and his mercy, extended his arm to Peter, pulled him from the depths, got into the disciples' boat, the storm ceased, and all was well. And that's where verse 53 picks up. When they had crossed over, when they had crossed over the Sea of Galilee, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, so let me stop there for just a moment. In this text today, we're going to see four groups of people, if you will. We're going to see the 12 disciples. We're then going to see the crowds or the multitude. We'll just simply call them what the text calls them, the people. That's followers of Christ, but not specifically the 12. That third group is just a group of one. It's the Lord Jesus. And then the fourth group is going to be the sick. And in this passage of Scripture, even though there are four groups, we're going to primarily just talk about three and really just two. The people and the sick. You see, right here, after we read verses 53 and the beginning of 54, the 12 disciples really aren't mentioned anymore in this summary text. We're going to change the understanding of that third person plural pronoun they. It's not going to be talking about the 12 disciples any longer. And now Mark's going to use it to talk about the people. So watch this. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They recognized him. Now, it's interesting, this word here for recognized in the language of the New Testament, it means they knew him. We take our English word knowledge from this word. In the language of the New Testament, the word is gnosis. But Mark doesn't just say they knew him. This word in the language of the New Testament is not just gnosis. It's a compound word. It's epignosis, which means that they just didn't know about him. They knew him through and through because of their experience with him. Let me give you an example. I know about Cowboys coach Jason Garrett. All right? I know he's got red hair. I know he used to quarterback for the Cowboys years ago. I know that before he coached the Cowboys, he was an offensive coordinator with the Miami Dolphins. I know about him. But I know personally Reigns Wildcat football coach Randy Barnes. I know his wife is Connie. I know she works in education as well. I know before coming to Reigns ISD, Coach Barnes was at Tyler Lee. Before that, he had been in Carrollton. Before that, he had been in Ferris. Before that, he had been in Crandall. I know he's got a daughter, Meredith. I know about Coach Barnes' testimony. You see, I know about Jason Garrett, but I know Randy Barnes because of my experience with him. These people, they just didn't know about Jesus. They knew Jesus through and through. Perhaps they had been there to see him cast out the demon. Perhaps they had been one of the ones that were healed from their disease. Maybe they were in the thousands that Jesus fed miraculously. Maybe they had heard about him walking on water or stilling the storm. They just didn't know about Jesus. They knew Jesus. Many of you here this morning, you just don't know about Jesus. You know Jesus. Amen? And you know him personally. And you know him experientially. You have experienced his saving grace in your life. Now I want you to watch this, because this is crucial. Because of their knowledge of Jesus, because of the people's knowledge of Jesus, it meant certain things for them in their life. Watch this. Are you ready? It meant, first of all, that they ran to the sick. It is their knowledge of Jesus. It is their recognizing Jesus immediately, verse 54 says, that in verse 55, they ran through that whole surrounding region and begin to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Now we're going to see more so in just a moment, but I will already just go ahead and say to you, this summary story, these summary verses are about Jesus healing physically, but even more than that, they are about Jesus healing spiritually. And brothers and sisters, I have to ask a very challenging question to you this morning, to us this morning, who know Jesus personally. Why is it that we don't run to the spiritually sick? Why don't we run to those who are spiritually sick and on their way to hell without Jesus? Do we not believe that people are actually sick? Even though Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Family, co-workers, neighbors, classmates, friends. Why don't we run to the sick? Is it that we don't believe they're sick? Is it that we don't believe that sick people die? Even though Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we not believe that sick people die? Do we not believe that spiritually dead people go to hell? Do we not believe that hell is real? Why don't we run to the sick? You see, for these people who recognized Jesus, they knew him, but just didn't know about him. They knew him personally. They knew him experientially. They knew him through and through. They ran to the sick. But notice also there in the text, after running to the sick, they relied on a very specific solution. I would even say they relied on the, capital T-H, definitive solution. Verse 55 says, again, they ran through that whole surrounding region and they began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he, who is that? Jesus. To wherever they heard he was. And wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in their marketplaces. You see, these people, in recognizing the sick and in recognizing that the sick die, they relied on the solution. And the solution in this particular day was not medicine. The solution was not doctors. There was one solution. Not one among many. There was just one. The solution. And the solution was Jesus. And brothers and sisters, can I say to you again today that the solution for your spiritually sick family and friends is not pulling up your bootstraps and trying harder to do better. The solution for your spiritually sick and dying family and friends is not simply to come to a church. The solution for your spiritually sick and my spiritually sick family and friends is one and only one, and that solution is Jesus. He is not a solution among many solutions. He is the only solution. And if you don't believe that, then you're wasting your time here this morning. Let me give you permission to do something else on Sunday morning than be here if you don't believe that Jesus is the only solution. These people, they ran to the sick. They relied on the solution. And then, thirdly, they requested salvation. Literally, they begged for people to be healed. Verse 56, wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him. Or requested of him over and over and over and over again that they, the sick, might just touch the hem, the fringe, the tassels, that they might just touch the hem of his garment. Brothers and sisters, are you begging the Lord for your lost family and friends to be saved? If not, why not? You see, when these people recognized Jesus, that recognition, that experience, that relationship with Jesus made them do certain things like running to the sick, believing that Jesus is the only hope, and calling out unto the Lord for their friends and family to be saved. You say, Brother Richard, again, he's talking about healing here. You're talking about salvation. That word at the end, or actually it's a phrase in our English translations at the end of verse 56, and as many as touched him were made well. That word, phrase, made well, it's just one word in the language of the New Testament, and it does mean cured, it does mean healed, but it's the same word that is also used for salvation. And here's what I know this morning. Today, I can't say that every person who goes to Jesus for physically healing is healed. I know that not to be true. I know that there have been people who have cried out to Jesus, who've been suffering from a physical ailment, and for whatever reason, God in His sovereignty, God in His providence, Jesus has not physically healed them. But here's what I also know. Every person who has called out to God in faith has been saved. Every single one. And you may be here this morning. You see, there's nothing magical about Jesus' robe. Them touching the hem of his garment was an act of faith, and Jesus honored their faith. And he is inviting you this morning, if you're here today and you are spiritually sick and you are on your way to death in hell, separated from Christ, the invitation for you this morning is in an act of faith to touch the hem of his garment and be made well. And I can promise you without a shadow of a doubt that if you respond to that invitation in faith, just like these people here in Mark chapter 6 in verse 56, as many as touched him were made well. And I invite you this morning to be made well. But also invite my brothers and sisters this morning. As we said a moment ago, for all practical purposes, summer is done. School is beginning. The fall is upon us. And we talk about on this particular Sunday, it's time to get back in the game. It's time to get back in the game with your attendance. Which obviously, if you're here this morning, you're doing that. But can I also invite you and encourage you to be a part of our Sunday evening gatherings, our Wednesday evening gatherings? Let me encourage you to get back in the game as it relates to ministry. Whether you're serving as a greeter, serving on our security team, serving in our choir, serving in Good Samaritan, serving in Backpack Buddies, serving in Good News Club, serving on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, wherever the case may be, get back in the game as it relates to ministry. Get back in the game as it relates to your financial giving. Sometimes summer is hard because we take trips and we buy school supplies and other expenses come up. Get back in the game with your giving. But from our text this morning, brothers and sisters, we've got to get back in the game as it relates to bringing people to Jesus. And notice I didn't say bringing people to church. Bringing people to Jesus. It's time for us to get back in the game. And I'm inviting you and challenging you to join me. Let's pray together. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, in just a moment after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Brother Chris is going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And if you're here today and you recognize that you are lost, you are spiritually lost, and you do not know Jesus Christ, you know about him, but you don't know him in a saving way. You've never put your faith and trust in him. Today, if that's true of you, as we are standing and singing just a moment, I'm going to be here standing at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front with me. And I'm going to invite you this morning in an act of faith for you to come to touch the hem of his garment, to be saved, to be born again. To confess that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior and believe that that Savior is Jesus. Call upon him to save you. We would love to counsel with you this morning. We'd love to pray with you this morning. We'd love to welcome you this morning. And so our invitation will be for you. Maybe you're a guest with us today and you want to get back in the game here at Emory Baptist Church, joining with us in ministry, joining with us through church membership. Today we'd love to welcome you, and we would invite you to come. Maybe God has placed someone specifically on your mind this morning and on your heart that you need to get back in the game and bringing that person to Jesus. Maybe just as a sign of your commitment, you want to come here at the front and pray. But you're also welcome to make that commitment where you'll be standing. Brother Ronnie and I would love to pray with you if you have a specific request. Our invitation will be for you this morning to respond to God's word. Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful for these few verses at the end of Mark chapter 6. While they may seem relatively docile, even nebulous, but Lord, they have so much to offer to us that we get back in the game in bringing people to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment. Father, I pray today that there'll be those here this morning who answer that call to faith. I pray today, Lord, that there'll be those who have courage and boldness to unite with Emory Baptist Church. Father, for all across the auditorium, as your word and your spirit has convicted us today, Father, let us go from this place committed to bringing people to Jesus. We love you and we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Very quietly and very reverently, would you stand to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. You come today as God leads you.